Hey, Unnecessary Roughness listeners, you can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
With golf season in full swing, Chevy wants to help you make the most of every drive, and the all-electric Blazer EV's bold design and dynamic performance make it the perfect electric vehicle to get you to the course in style and comfort. Chevrolet, together let's drive.
Welcome, boys and girls. It is college football. It is Barstool. It is Unnecessary Roughness. And tonight, we're talking Alabama. We're talking Michigan State. We're talking about all the crazy goings-on of college football. And we're doing it for the next 2 hours, maybe hour and a half, something like that. Like, subscribe. You're already here. Like the damn video. It's what makes Jack's what makes Jack happy. Enjoy. Just want to let you guys know that I've experienced the joys of victory today and the pit of anger and despair. So I've run the gamut. So I am seeing things clearly tonight.
What was your win?
I counted it as a win when Mississippi State went up with 2 minutes left. I felt the joy of victory.
You did, and you even made it clear to us that you thought you were going to win. So.
I did, and if we're being honest, that was probably a mistake. I probably shouldn't have done that.
Now, all things considered, I mean, really was kind of a win. Even after the losing part, you guys came back down the field.
Listen, it's one of those things. I feel better about the shape of the program tonight than I did this morning. Like, I feel we're close. We're this close. We just keep inventing ways to lose, and the SEC fucks us. That's okay. Anyway, we'll talk about that later. I'm seeing the board clearly is what I'm trying to tell you. I see this college football universe better than anybody's ever seen it tonight.
Okay. No, that's great news.
You got something to say?
I was going to say, if you're going to go to the kicker tryouts at Mississippi State.
For all the people getting mad, we'll talk about that later. We'll talk about it. Anyway, I don't know if y'all know, but Casey's not going to be here. Just me and you two tonight. Me and the kids.
Yes. The JV squad's coming up.
It's like, you know, me and her are divorced, and this is your weekend with me. So I'll probably rent y'all a couple of movies. I'll let y'all eat snacks. I won't worry about your bedtime. I'll be the fun guy to be with.
No, yeah.
All right. Y'all ready?
The kids are playing their tail off, and the coaches are screwing it up.
And they run through our ass like shit through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
We failed to make our coaching points and our points more compelling than their fat little girlfriends.
Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats. We need more dogs.
Hi, welcome to Unnecessary Roughness, Barstool's college football podcast, brought to you by the delicious and wonderful folks at High Noon Hard Seltzer. I don't know where you are in this great country, but every game I saw on Saturday seemed like it had, outside of the Washington game, Oregon game, it seemed like it had the most annoyingly bright sunlight I've ever seen on a football field. It seemed like every place in America was enjoying perfect fall weather today. No better way to enjoy fall weather than with a nice, crispy High Noon. You know, if it's like 50 degrees outside, crack you a High Noon. If it's 80, crack you a High Noon, whatever. It is the perfect tailgating drink, the perfect chilling and watching football drink, High Noon. They've been with us since the beginning, and they are the best. Okay, here we go, folks, boys and girls. My name is Brandon Walker, and I'm not going to do any heart and soul jokes tonight because my other compadre, my partner, my wife, my podcast wife, she is not here tonight. She just feels a little under the weather. I've been sick for like a week, so I can't say anything, but Casey not here tonight. It is me and the kids. Hi, Jack. Hi,
hello.
Kitty. Jack also nodded his approval to that whole diatribe. I am, of course, Brandon Walker, and it's just another one of those weeks where college football, you think you know it, you think you've experienced it, you think you've got it figured out, and then by the end of Saturday night, you're just looking at a blank screen and a blank page thinking, What did I just witness? What did I just see? I've got a couple takes, and we're just going to use this. We're going to do this the same way I always do it. I'll just kind of say my observations throughout the show, and you guys can bounce it back off of me. But real quick, right off the top of the show, let me ask both of you. I'll start with you, Jack. if you had to nail one thing about Saturday, November 6th, about Saturday, November 6th, what would be the one thing that stands out to you, Jack?
Alabama is not the second best team in the country.
If they're not, who is, though?
It ain't Alabama. This is not Alabama. This is not Alabama. Alabama is not Alabama this year, and everybody, the committee who's pretending it, all the people that are pretending it, this is not a great team, and they will eventually lose to somebody. That is a great take, Jack. Katie, November 6th, what stands out to you the most?
It's Georgia, a whole lot of space, and then I have no idea how to rank anyone else.
No, it really is. I Alabama's the only team that comes to mind as a team who has separated themselves from the pack in recent years as much as Georgia has this year. Like, Georgia's Alabama this year. Georgia replaced Alabama as Alabama. Here's my thing with Saturday, November 6th, and it's my thing with college football this year. This season doesn't have an identity yet. We don't know what this season's going to be. We don't know what the season's going to be remembered. Remember 2007, how we always hold it up as this symbol of chaos and how great it was, how chaotic it was. This year is almost chaos. Like, it's almost chaos. This year, we've got teams going out there like Alabama and almost losing. And Ohio State, they almost lose. And nobody looks impressive at the end of the day. But at the end of the day, we're, like, getting to this spot where every time that everything can fall apart purely and just be pure unadulterated chaos, it doesn't really do that. It's a weird season. We haven't – I don't think when this season's story is written for the history books, I don't think we've seen what the first chapter will be yet. Whether that's Georgia just finishing off one of the most dominant seasons ever or somebody escaping from this pack of mediocrity, because that's what it is behind Georgia. Let's be honest. It's a pack of mediocrity, starting with Alabama, continuing with Ohio State, continuing with the Michigan teams, on and on and on and on. I guess today – the biggest storyline has to be, like, number three in the country just lost.
It doesn't seem that surprising. I feel like a lot of people had that coming, though.
Yeah, Michigan State, this is one of the things that will determine this year. Michigan State and Michigan played an all-time classic last week, right? One ended up at number three because they won. One ended up at number seven. Do we now go back? Does the committee go back and look at Michigan at number seven and say, you know what, maybe they're not as good as we thought because Michigan State just went on the road and got beat by two touchdowns to Purdue? Jack.
Well, Michigan State, this isn't – not that it's necessarily – takes away from them, but we've seen them in games like this before tonight. We saw them in this game, like, very, very similar against Nebraska, where they kind of escaped by the skin of their teeth. Michigan, this was a tough situation too, an incredibly emotional game against Michigan, and then right, you have to go on the road against a team that Jeff Brohm, I mean, he's only been in three games against top five opponents, but he's won every game against top five opponents. Ohio State, or I guess it's four now, because maybe Ohio State, when they played them in 2018 or whatever, it was not, they weren't top five, but Ohio State, Iowa this year, and then Michigan State. So that's the three. And Purdue, they're a very good team. And I wasn't necessarily shocked. I don't really think this means, like, Michigan State's a bad football team. They're a top 20 football team, and they got caught in a bad emotional spot. So,
but Jack, that's the thing though. Purdue isn't a very good football team. They're an okay football team. They're a decent football team. And now they've taken down a top five team twice this year. Like, saying Purdue is very good is I don't know. It's weird. Being a Purdue fan's got to be the weirdest experience in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we've had that stat a couple of weeks ago that Purdue has beaten number one or number two 9 times as an unranked team. Now this was number three, but they know how to knock off the Giants. It's after they play the Giants, after they beat the Giants, they don't know how to follow it up. Purdue, just as easily as they can beat Michigan State, just as easily as they can beat Iowa, will lose to Minnesota at home. So Purdue's just a weird team. I look at this season, and the questions are, who is good and how would you know? We can answer that question on one team. Georgia is very good. You know why? Because they're beating the shit out of everybody. They've had one close game. It was against Clemson at the very beginning of the year. Clemson, by the way, who just should not be buried at all, should not be buried. Still an accomplishment to beat them. Anyway, Georgia has killed everybody. We know they're good. After that, who the fuck knows? I don't know how you know. I don't know how we nitpick the committee. We laugh at the committee. We point at the committee. We blame the committee. We do all these things to the committee. But these teams are not making it easy on this group of individuals. These teams, Michigan State, as soon as they get up there at number three, they lose. Oregon, number four, has not been impressive since they beat, even tonight, they weren't that impressive. They won. Alabama was not impressive today. Like, somebody needs to do the committee a solid and just come out there and be good. Ohio State won't do it. Ohio State goes to Nebraska and gets lucky to get out of there. It's a crazy, crazy season where it feels like it's a war of attrition, where it's a heavyweight fight, where every fighter is just getting knocked up against the ropes except for one. And by the end of the season, we'll just have to – somehow we'll be able to separate these teams.
And another theme of this season is we're finding out about a lot of coaches. We found out
– I fucking love this take.
Yeah, and we're – today, on that Ohio State-Nebraska game, man, Scott Frost just made some really – like, when you're at Scott – how much does Scott Frost have to lose right now? Go – they took – two or three field goals where I think they could have gone for it. And their field goal kicker isn't even good. So I get it. If you have like a great field goal kicker, take the field goal. But if maybe you go for it, you may have a better chance of winning the game. We found out about Dan Mullen. We're finding out about a lot of coaches this year, including just a quick note. I think Justin Fuente will probably be fired very soon. Well, that's a goodbye. Coach Yarrow, we figured out about, even though he kind of had his like last hurrah tonight.
I got another coach, Jack, and it's the wildest take you will hear tonight. I think we're finding out about Nick Saban this year.
Oh, okay. Go on.
And let me tell you why. Let me tell you the point to this. They barely beat LSU tonight, okay? Alabama wasn't good tonight. Their offense wasn't good. Their defense wasn't good. We're finding out about Nick Saban in this way. We are finding out that for the first time, maybe in his career, Nick Saban has whiffed on his hires. That's never happened. He has never whiffed on hires. He has always been able to have the sharpest eye in the game because as a head coach, you're only as good as your coordinator. You're only as good as your defensive coordinator. That's your bread and butter. The guys that call your plays, the guy that call your defensive plays. And Saban has always gotten it right. He's done it mainly by getting the best players and giving – offensive coordinators these weapons, and he's given to Lane Kiffin, he's given to Steve Sarkisian. Well, now he's given these weapons to Bill O'Brien. And I'm sorry, 2021 college football, Bill O'Brien sticks out like a sore thumb. He's conservative. He is not forward-thinking like these other offensive coordinators. And Pete Golding, the defensive coordinator at Alabama, has been living on borrowed time for a few years now. They were not good defensively last year, but they ended up winning because of their offense. He was able to skate by. And now this year, he sticks out like a sore thumb. Nick Saban's the greatest coach in college football history, and for the first time in two decades, I think he's going out there with subpar coordinators.
Now, there was a time when there was some concern with his coordinators in what, like the early 2010s. Brian Daboll, even though he's turned out to be like – he may be an NFL coach soon, but he was seen as kind of – I remember like run the damn ball, like ran the ball – the ball. But I think you're 100% right. I mean, Alabama, the crazy thing about it is, though, that the offensive mastermind that had that Alabama offense last year is over in Texas, and they scored, what, 14 points tonight against Iowa State?
We'll get to him later. The bloom's kind of off that rose, too. But at Alabama, yes, in the early 2010s, the Alabama offenses like struggle, but that's how they were kind of built. They were built to run first. They were built to go behind big offensive lines. They were built to get third downs. The last few Alabama teams have been built to score 40 and 50 points. And when you go up against an LSU team with a bad defensive coordinator and a coach who's done, and you score 20 points and you look average in doing so, you beat Florida by two. You beat, like, the warts are starting to show with Alabama, and people need to stop ignoring them. The committee ignored them last week. Are they going to continue to ignore the warts on Alabama? That's my question. And even if you ignore the warts, are there? I don't even know if you can drop them because nobody else looks good either.
You're not wrong about that because right behind them, Michigan State, and then right. Oregon. Oregon wins by 10.
Hold on. Let me lay that out. So today, this is just the we've had one committee ranking, right? One time they've ranked the top 25. Today alone, number 18 lost, number 20 lost, number 17 lost, number 9 lost, number 12 lost, number 3 lost, number 13 lost, number 23 lost. That's 8 of the committee's top 25. And if you go past losses and into unimpressive territory, I would say Alabama, number 2, very unimpressive. 3 lost. 4 Oregon, unimpressive. 5 Ohio State, unimpressive. I had Michigan down for unimpressive. I think they closed out enough where you could take them off the list.
Yeah, they kind of found a way late in that game to pull away. But then again, I mean, that was at home, and I think they ended up winning 31-7 or 31-14. But, I mean, we saw what Ohio State did to that Indiana team just 2 weeks ago. So
And then Cincinnati, number 6, unimpressive. We'll get to Cincinnati later. But I'm telling you, if you want to keep holding this eye test against Cincinnati – you need to turn the eye test around and make it a mirror test, because if you pointed that mirror at Alabama and you pointed that mirror at Ohio State and Oregon, Cincy ain't looking bad at that point. Anyway, Jackie boy.
Yes.
Jackie boy. I think that's a new thing I'm going to try out, Jackie boy.
Yeah, no, yeah, why not?
Jackie boy, you work late. These Saturdays are long for you, right?
Yeah, no, they're long for the entire Unnecessary Roughness team.
You got to have a boost. You got to have something to get you going. You got to have good coffee in your life. And a few weeks back, the best coffee in America walked into our lives when Black Rifle teamed up with Unnecessary Roughness. Black Rifle Coffee Company is a veteran-owned coffee company serving premium coffee to people who love America. Jack, one thing I know about you, you love America.
Yes, and I love supporting brands like Black Rifle Coffee. They give back to first responders, such as veterans, police officers, EMS, other first responders. I'm sure I'm missing a few, but I love great causes like this, especially when it's also, you know, benefiting me, because I love Black Rifle Coffee. I've loved ever since they've come on to Barstool to advertise with a bunch of our podcasts, and they give out random like products in the office, and I love drinking it. And I was very excited when they came on board with us to Unnecessary Roughness to advertise.
Black Rifle Coffee imports high quality coffee beans from all over the world and roasts 5 days a week at their facilities in Manchester, Tennessee and Salt Lake City, Utah. The team at Black Rifle Coffee is continually researching and experimenting with new roasting methods, coffee origins. The best way to enjoy Black Rifle Coffee is by joining their coffee club. You pick your perfect roast, how much and when you want delivered to your door, and we take care of the rest. Actually, they do. I don't do shit. It's free to sign up, and you get free shipping, discounts on partner brands, and early access to new products and club-exclusive products. Go to BlackRifleCoffee.com/Walker. Walker, that's my name. And use code Walker today and get the freshest coffee in America. Again, that's BlackRifleCoffee.com/Walker to get the freshest coffee in America shipped to you. Anyway, so I just have some observations. I'll go down the list. Katie, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm thriving.
Well, Katie's team had a phenomenal win today.
Yes. No, I tweeted this out earlier. I am super happy that we won. Vegas gave me the hope to begin with, so I knew it was a potential. But it still doesn't make up for the season as a whole. Like how you said of Penn State last week. Penn State's season is done, but they still have the ability to affect other people's season. So it's like,
but that's exactly where you are. Like, that's how the season evolves, right? North Carolina comes in, they've got top 10 dreams, and that doesn't happen. Whatever, that doesn't happen. But being able to slap Wake Forest from the ranks of the undefeated has to feel pretty good.
Yes, no, 100% it does. But it's still like, also, if you look at Wake Forest, they're, I think, what, number 9? And you're like, oh, they look like a number 9 team? You're kidding yourself. It was just like, they're up there because they happen to be undefeated. I think they just... they were literally there. Like, it's UTSA. They're just there because they're undefeated.
Okay, so here's the thing.
Great.
There was a world we lived in where we had to pretend Wake Forest was good because they were 8-0.
Yeah.
I feel like the same world is what's protecting Michigan right now. We have to pretend they're good because they're 8-1. and they haven't actually achieved goodness yet. They haven't actually achieved anything to make me say they're good. We had to have Michigan State number three, even though they've had one test this year and they passed it last week, barely. Anyway, observations. Let's go. I don't know if this is a glimpse into our future, but I'm just going to say this right now. I didn't know I would feel this way, but I feel this way. I hated Chris Fowler and Kirk Herbstreit calling Alabama LSU. I thought it felt low energy. It felt low rent. It didn't feel right. You know, the devil you know is oftentimes better than the devil you don't. And I know we all make fun of Gary Danielson and CBS and everything. But my God, as nothing, a big-time SEC game without Brad Nessler or Uncle Vern and Gary Danielson just didn't feel right. I need Jamie Erdahl. I need – I couldn't do the SEC, CBS on SEC theme. Hold on, I got to think. I need it. I need it. I need it. I just – that – Fowler and Herbstreit are great, and they should be at the biggest game every Saturday night. They should be at Oklahoma, or they should be at Washington, or they should be at Syracuse, or they should be at Clemson. I'm not sure they should be in Tuscaloosa. That didn't feel right. I need my SEC on CBS, and we're going to lose it soon. Am I crazy?
Well, we are going to lose it, and it is going to be a weird transition period. And the take, you're not wrong. It adds something to, like, the layers of the day. You break up your day kind of like that. You start with ESPN, and then even, like, we're kind of in this.
No. I think what you – now, and good credit to them, I think it has taken hold. I think you start your day with Gus.
That's what I was about to say, that – credit to Fox that we kind of start our day now with Gus Johnson, because they really have taken over that slot, which what is smart looking back on it. They've been made fun of, but it has worked. Then you kind of get that. Then the second part of the day is you hear that music. And then the third part is usually a big game on ABC with Fowler and Herbie. But you're right. It's going to be a weird transition period. And then, it's going to be weird.
I didn't like it. I got to be watching Gary Danielson seem like he have an erection for Nick Saban the whole time. I have to watch Gary Danielson talking about Alabama no matter who's playing. I got to watch that. I don't want him to go away.
You don't know what you got until it's gone.
You really don't. And he sucks. He's the worst. I don't want him to go.
But I think a lot of people, you included and myself included, like kind of like having – a hateable figure.
I love Herbstreit. He's a dreamy guy. I got a man crush on him. I mean, he's got the babyest blue eyes in the world, but it just didn't work for me with LSU and Bama. I didn't feel it.
You aren't wrong. It was weird. Now, I wonder if it would have changed if it was a good LSU team. But that being said, it was a close game.
It was a good game. I mean, like I don't know. It was. I didn't like it. It didn't feel right. They got to at least hire Nessler. Like, Nessler's great. Nessler was ESPN before anyway. They need to hire Nessler, right? I don't know. If we're going to transition to this SEC on ESPN junk, I don't know how I'm going to deal with it.
They're going to need to get the music, to be honest.
The music, they might need Gary.
Imagine if they brought in Gary.
What if Gary's the key to this whole thing? What if my enjoyment of college football ultimately is really just my enjoyment of having Gary Danielson there in my life?
And, like, Gary sitting in his couch in his nice house paid for by CBS the first year that SEC's on ESPN. And then he's just sitting there with some coffee, maybe a bourbon or something. He's just like, I told you so.
And 3 years from now, I'm just poor, broke, penniless, and insane.
Yeah.
I got a beard down to my waist, and I'm just shaking back and forth.
Sports anymore. You don't like sports. You have no livelihood.
I'm just watching The View every day, hollering at Whoopi. I'm just like, where did it go wrong, Brandon? They took Gary away, man. They just took Gary away. I got to have Gary. It's crazy. All right. Now, my game. Talk about it later. Did we get screwed? Yes, of course we did. We always do. But I'm okay.
I thought blaming refs was the unclassy thing to do.
What? Who said that?
I don't know.
There was a really bad call in that game.
Multiple bad calls, but yes. Which one are you talking about?
The one at the end.
Yeah, it was awful. We get fucked. It's okay. Fine. If I got to get fucked for everybody else to enjoy college football, fine. Just fuck me. Just go ahead, bend me over and fuck me. Whatever. I'll take it. Just like college again. Okay, anyway, so it is – y'all okay?
Thriving. Unlike you in college, apparently.
His name was Gary, too. Anyway, all right, here we go. So we've got – I'm just going to keep going, and we'll get back to my game. It is fun, and I know I already said this. It's good that we get to stop pretending the Wake was good. That was a fun story. Good for Wake for getting 8-0. But I thought of a take that I gave last week, and I thought of the answer to it between last week's show and this week's show. Last week in the playoff recap, or in the playoff committee recap, we pointed at Wake Forest and said, if Clemson had this exact same resume, would they be number 9 or would they be number 2 or 3? And we said they'd be number 2 or 3. But here's the difference. If Clemson had that same resume of victories, they would have had those victories by 30, 35 points a pop. They would have handled teams along the way. Whereas Wake Forest has been trying to get beat for weeks. They blew it against Syracuse. They ended up winning in overtime. They barely beat Louisville. They were clearly an average team dressed up as an above-average team. And then today they just ran out of gas against a talented offensive team in North Carolina. Shout out to Ty Chandler, who was incredible. Sam Howell, again, Sam Howell's not having the season you thought he would, but he's still one of the better quarterbacks in the country. And
do you know who's leading the country in rushes of 10-plus yards?
I'm just going to take a wild guess. Michael Chandler.
Mm-mm. Sam Howell.
Is that – I did
at
see that
as of
week.
The game, as of that slate.
I saw that this week. And he also had a couple of touchdown runs that were nifty.
Hit both him and Sam. Like, no one wanted to tackle him the entire game. But, yeah, a quarterback is leading the entire nation in 10-plus yard runs.
By the way, I think – I don't think this season's going to hurt his draft stock. I think the NFL draft guys are going to see that he's been doing what he can, what he could. Good for North Carolina, but Wake – I mean, that'll be it from Wake. I think they host NC State. Even though that was a non-conference game, they host NC State Saturday. NC State will beat them in Winston-Salem, and NC State will end up winning that division. By the way, we said it before, Wake Forest playing North Carolina in a non-conference game is the height of college football stupidity, and the ACC should be disbanded for letting it happen.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, Wake Forest is still undefeated in ACC play.
Oh, that's gross. That made my I didn't like that.
Sucks.
I had a rectal reaction when you said that. I didn't like that at all. How you guys holding up? You good?
Yeah.
Guys, did UConn play today?
No, we have two straight bye weeks before we take on Clemson next week.
Oh, you know what? Okay, I'm sorry. That's the dumbest thing in college football. UConn just stacking bye weeks. Like, okay, whatever. You think they just sat around? You think anybody will notice and we just didn't play for a couple weeks?
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly what they did. And they're like, hey, let's do it. Well, in UConn news, this is the only thing I'll talk about with UConn. There was a report on like Thursday night at like 11 p.m. that they were going to hire Al Golden, which I really didn't like, but that looks to be untrue. But anyways, Al Golden, Northeast guy, it wouldn't have been the worst thing, but I wouldn't have liked it. But anyways, let's get on with the slate.
Al Golden, by the way. It would be funny to me 2021 just watching a guy looking like an assistant grocery store manager out there with the white shirt and the tie. Yep. Mm. And like you gotta go up and ask if they've got a sale on paper towels or something. Mm. Speaking of weird seasons, God, we got a lot to get to. Speaking of weird seasons. Two of the weirdest seasons this year, as far as teams go. You tell me who's had a weirder season than A, Purdue, and B, Minnesota. Minnesota was off the radar from everybody. Nobody was thinking about Minnesota. Nobody was worried about Minnesota. They lost to Ohio State to open the year, and not a bad loss. And then they lost to Bowling Green, and that was it. They were out of sight, out of mind. And all of a sudden, the playoff committee's rankings come out, and they show up as number 20. They're 6-2. you look and, oh, my God, they can win the West. And the second attention got back on them, the second attention got back on Minnesota, they went out and laid another egg and lost to Illinois. Hell, Illinois had a weird season.
They've had a really weird season. And Minnesota, I mean, I have to check the AP poll, but I think they were only ranked by the College Football Playoff coming into this week, and I think that was kind of the bolster up a little bit of the Big Ten as a whole. It was like one of their schemes that they were doing. It will be interesting to see what they do with Minnesota. Obviously, they have to go. And same with probably Mississippi State. But what are they – would they then put Arkansas in?
Yeah, I think they'll just replace us.
Yeah, just replace with Arkansas because that's still – but anyways, yeah, Minnesota, really weird season. Not bad enough to for PJ Fleck to feel any pressure. But, yeah, it's definitely like – what's going on there?
He gave no pressure. He just signed a contract like, what, 2028, 2027?
And yeah, he just signed a big money contract. He was up to $5 million. And he goes out and he loses. And then Purdue, though. Purdue, like, they lost to Minnesota earlier. And they've had – Purdue is just sneaky in big games every week. Remember when they played Notre Dame earlier in the season? Yep. Then they played Iowa. Then they played Michigan State. Well, guess who they play next week? They play Ohio State. Purdue's in the biggest game of the week every week, and they're 2-1 in those games. Purdue's just been weird, man. And they're 6-3.
They're 6-3, and they've lost to Minnesota,
right?
Notre Dame, and then I feel like they have another weird loss in there. Maybe I'm just blanking. Did they play Wisconsin?
It's Notre Dame, Minnesota, Wisconsin are their three losses.
All right, so. Yeah, Purdue's in the biggest game every week, and they're playing. They're just top five killers. And if they do it again next week, I mean, would they – has a team ever beat three top five teams and not, like, won the national championship? Probably not.
I would be remiss. I mean, I think it would be – has a team ever beaten three top five teams?
Well, I guess you could say SEC championship, college football playoff, yeah. Natty.
Well, now you mentioned it. I think LSU a couple years ago probably did.
Yep. They beat Bama, and then they beat Georgia. And then, okay, yeah. But
and then they beat two playoff teams.
Maybe we'd say three top five teams in the regular season. I don't know if that's been done before.
I bet it's been attempted. Like, I bet the SEC has had people play three top five teams.
Yes.
But, yeah, I don't know. That's wild. But you know what? I bet South Carolina, with them having a rivalry with Clemson and playing Georgia every year, I bet they've had a couple seasons where they played three or four top five teams.
That LSU 2019 team, it'd be seven top 10 teams.
Yeah. But
top five's a little bit harder because, like, you could sneak in the top 10 and then get that, like,
top five then.
Four?
Yeah.
How about during the regular season? Bama,
one. It was one during the regular season of Bama.
Okay, so then that's the craziest part.
Yeah.
Is Dan Mullen at Florida the fastest fall from grace?
Yeah.
In history that didn't require a scandal.
Yeah, I just like. It's shocking to me. I mean, some people have made fun of me, and I would honestly say I'm even making fun of myself a little bit. I mean, I was pretty sure and thinking that they were a team that could have hung with Georgia going into that game and then saw them as a top 10 team, and I was very off. I mean, that team stinks. Just stinks out loud. They lost tonight by 23, but really 30 points to South Carolina.
The worst South Carolina team in two decades.
South Carolina coming into that game only scored 23 points. That's the most points they scored against an FBS team. And they scored 30 in the first half against Florida. Like, and again, this is something that's like when you can have all the recruiting talent in the world, but if it's not clicking, man, it's not clicking.
Well, here's the thing. Mullen's in trouble. Because his fans want him to recruit at a top 10 level, and he hasn't recruited at a top 10 level. But even past that, he's got the talent to be beating South Carolina. Like, it's one thing to not be able to beat Georgia because you can't recruit. It's one thing to not be able to beat Alabama. But you can't go into Columbia, South Carolina, and get outclassed by a first-year head coach who's trying to build everything. Let me take you back in time, okay? It was 1 year ago in November, late November. Florida was 8-1. They only had a 38-35 loss at Texas A&M, which you can excuse. And they're hosting LSU, who the bottom had fallen out of. They were bad. I think they were 3-5 at the time. And it was a close game in the fog, in the swamp, and a player picked up a shoe and threw it. And since that day, Florida walked into there 8-1. Since that day, they are 4-8.
Max Johnson, I think that was his first start, maybe second. And we've seen him. He's not even that good either. So it's like,
oh, he stinks.
Yeah. So, like, also, he, it's just everything went wrong since he threw that shoe. The, I would even say, though, the only thing that went right, they did play Bama tough. They gave Bama their hardest game in that SEC championship game. But then the Cotton Bowl against Oklahoma stunk. Mm-hmm. He said after the game something like, I don't count this towards the 2020 season. Right, right, 2021. Right. That was a weird comment. And then, but then again, we're talking about Bama. Bama beat this team by 2 points.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. Alabama ain't that good. Alabama ain't that good. They've had three road games. They killed us. Fine. They lost at A&M. They barely beat Florida, who stinks. They barely beat LSU at home tonight, who stinks. I mean, Alabama's not that good. Nobody's good, Jack. No. And speaking of good, will a good quarterback stand up somewhere in this country?
Who's the best quarterback in the country right now?
The corpse of Matt Corral? Like, and he hasn't even been that good.
I'd say you can make an argument for Grayson McCall.
Okay, so nothing against Grayson McCall. He's great. I mean, he just does play a G5. We haven't seen him against great teams. So like, I mean, you're right. But I think you could honestly say, is Stetson Bennett in the top five?
Is it Brennan Armstrong? Like, there are no good quarterbacks this year. All the good quarterbacks. Like, Bryce Young was terrible against LSU. It's his first bad game. It's his first bad game. So I'm going to I'll give him a pass, but I don't want to give him a pass. It's just where the, like, CJ Stroud has had good numbers, but boy, he wasn't great today either.
He threw some balls today that I was like, is this week one CJ Stroud? He's a guy that goes on the road. I mean, I guess he did play well against Indiana, but like he kind of, maybe that's hard though. I mean, when you're on the road, it's difficult as a freshman quarterback, and don't get me wrong, but he goes on the road and he makes some, like, bonehead decisions, and he has all the talent in the world around him.
Another observation from that game, Nebraska is either the best terrible team or the worst good team in the history of college football, because they are not bad, but they're awful. Does that make sense?
You know how bad but good they are? They've outscored Big Ten opponents this year 196 to 170, but they're 1-5 in Big Ten players.
Sure. I mean,
like what?
Nebraska is god-awful. They're pretty good, though. I mean, like, both of those things are true, and it's the weirdest thing. Like, they had Michigan State beat. They had Michigan beat. They had Ohio State on the ropes. And they figured out a way to spectacularly lose all three of them. And Scott Frost, like, I look at Dan Mullen, and I look at Scott Frost. I think Scott Frost is doing a lot better job than Dan Mullen is right now. And they're both – oh, Jack's watching UFC. He just
– Oh, my God.
His face just get ripped off?
Oh, somebody just got fucking a kick to the head. Frankie Edgar, Marlon Vera. That was crazy. Sorry. I didn't mean that.
I liked it, Jack. I don't even know if he's doing it on purpose. He's just sitting right in front of the Brandon Walker College Football Show studio.
Oh, yeah, I am. I am in front of him in the UNC. There's two UNC. Shout out to Far Hills today. That was best quarterback. Could you say Sam Hartman?
No, you could. You could. In fact, I would go as far as say you probably should.
Sam, I think he's probably up there.
I think a lot of people would say Matt Corral, but again, like, he hasn't been that good recently. He's been okay. I'll tell you who was terrible. I don't want to hear Malik Willis's name again.
Oh.
He was god-awful. Like, Liberty, had 400 yards. He moved the ball between the 20s, and every time they get close, he just forgot how to play quarterback. Do not tell me Liberty and Malik Willis again. I'm done with that name.
So I think if you looked at all of our top five lists, and Katie, sorry to interrupt you, you can jump in right after this, but all of our top five lists coming in, I would say probably Sam Howell probably still deserves to be in the top five because he's really good. And but outside of that,
I would say Corral for sure.
Corral. But Derrick Henn.
Bryce Young probably.
You know who's good? This kid at Miami, Tyler Van Dyke, has come in. Miami, talk about saving their job. Manny Diaz was on the ropes, and he's no longer on the hottest seat in Florida. Not even close, I would say. This guy, Tyler Van Dyke, is pretty good. He's also from Connecticut, so, I mean, I love him.
He's also Manny's playing a lot of young studs down there, not just him, but a lot of young studs on defense too. So I think they're okay. I think they're having a season that they can build on. And Georgia Tech ain't terrible either. Like the ACC is just weird. The ACC is like just a bunch of rebuilding, and it's a bunch of weird projects going on there. It's like a neighborhood that's being built from the ground up because a mansion's under reconstruction at Clemson. So everybody's trying to add on to their house right now to keep up with them. But we'll see. All right, let's see.
And then wait, one more thing just about CJ Stroud. Remember how when Quinn Ewers reclassified and everyone was like, oh, Quinn Ewers is going to be? Maybe just not on the message boards, but I have seen zero peep for people calling for Quinn Ewers when CJ Stroud looks bad. He like completely vanished.
It's weird. He reclassified. He's old enough to be a freshman anyway.
Yeah.
But it's like people are treating him like he's still a senior in high school. Like he's basically like an alien from another planet that they would have to reteach how to play football. Like this guy's still the number one quarterback recruit of all time. And they're acting like he doesn't exist at all. It's an odd thing. Of course they have another quarterback who I think got some maybe DUI issues or something.
Jack Miller, I think, but
not ideal timing on the DUI issues if we're talking about the world in general. Let's see. All right. We talked about it before that game last week. I think we talked about it briefly after the game. The possibility still exists that Michigan State, neither one of them are very good. And I think the key in all of this, the key team in all this going forward, is going to be Penn State. Penn State is going to host Michigan next week. Penn State beats them. It's Big Ten's over. It's Ohio State's, right? Right. But if Michigan goes into Penn State and beats Penn State, a team that we've seen be pretty good, a team that we've seen with one really bad loss, but still a benchmark, a team you go to Happy Valley and win, that's a rose on your nose, okay? Michigan still controls a whole hell of a lot. This is the biggest Big Ten game of the year coming up, Michigan at Penn State. If Penn State beats them, Ohio State's walking to this thing. If Michigan beats Penn State, the Michigan-Ohio State game is going to carry that much more weight. It's fascinating to me coming up. But I think Michigan State, I think today was it for them. I think you can eliminate them as far as a serious playoff contender, a serious Big Ten contender. They've still got to play Penn State. They still got to play Ohio State. I just don't see how they get through either of those games.
I'm thinking about the Big – as you were talking, I was thinking about the Big Ten schedule. They really backloaded this.
They really – and I don't think they meant to because nobody knew Michigan State was going to be any good.
Nobody did. I mean, the only person that gave them credit, and I've given her credit before, was – Katie, we were like, oh, Michigan State, if you're a Michigan State fan, you got to be feeling that. She was like, well, they have all these transfers. We'll see. And then we did see, and I know I've gotten on Michigan State a lot, but, like, they probably have overperformed expectations the most out of anybody in the college football world this year. So
I think from start to finish, yeah, there's been moments.
Intruder?
He's watching a game.
No. Is there an intruder?
I think we had mice in this house.
Oh.
It's not fun. Hey, look at that.
The first one I've ever seen.
We have two members of this podcast have seen a mouse live on podcast.
have to get some traps.
You get it?
No, I have to get some traps.
Shame.
I ain't dealing with that shit. I got a cat! Fluffy! What are you doing?
Clearly, it's not a good cat.
It's a great cat. Anyway, where was I at?
We're talking about the Big Ten in Michigan State, and yeah. You're mentioning how transfer use and whatnot. So,
yeah, it's fine. Okay, so I'm just going by. Often when you come from your meetings, you like to espouse your views that, student loan debt is terrible. Being a student is terrible. Colleges in America are the worst places. And I agree with most of that, especially the fact that student loan debt is absolutely terrible. Yes?
Yeah, no, I can't agree more. Student loan debt, I hate it with all my being.
So if you've got student loan debt, which, you know what? I mean, that happens. I'm sure Katie has some, even though she probably is rich. Anyway, Katie has it. I've had it before. My wife's had it. My wife and I got married, and I inherited her student loan debt. That's not my fault. I didn't make her go to school for 7 years. Anyway, whatever. It doesn't matter. Earnest. They offer low-rate student loan refinancing, and you can check your rate risk-free in just 2 minutes. You can refinance your student debt at earnest.com/barstool for $100 cash bonus. Terms and conditions apply. Why would you do that? Because Earnest, you get radically flexible payments, and you can pick your loan term. If you have questions, you can even talk to a real live human at Earnest for help. Talking to a real live human, that sounds pretty good right now, Jack, doesn't it?
No, and you know I don't talk to a lot of real live humans. So any communication like that, it's a plus for me.
Isn't it time you stop feeling overwhelmed by your student debt? Yes, of course it is. Earnest is offering our listeners a $100 cash bonus. Let me say that again. Earnest is offering our listeners a $100 cash bonus. Refinance your student debt at earnest.com/barstool. That's earnest.com/barstool. Terms and conditions apply. Visit earnest.com/barstool for more details. Terms and conditions apply. Earnest student loan refinancing made by Earnest Operations LLC, NMLS number 1204917, California Financing Law License number 6054788, 535 Mission Street in San Francisco, California 94105. Visit earnest.com/licenses for a full list of licenses.
Sounds a lot better when Casey does. Arizona won a football game today. Both Arizona and UNLV, the two teams, the two FBS teams that haven't won yet.
Oh, yeah, I saw it. Everybody's won a game now.
Yeah, FBS, at least, yeah.
No winless teams this year. Good for everybody. We all deserve to raise our glasses tonight in celebration. None of us – we're not all losers. All right.
Wait, you're the only person on the team who's person on this podcast whose team lost today.
My team didn't.
You didn't play, so you didn't lose.
No, my team got screwed.
You lost.
No, they didn't. We're now, what's our record? 5-4-2-2 or something like that. We've been screwed twice. Whatever.
You're 6-2. I'm 6-2.
I'm like a hockey. I'm a hockey team. They got those records, 5-2.
You had overtime losses, but you got points out of them.
They don't really count. I still got points. This is the year. This is truly the year where we should have had 12. And it's a shame we waited till now to think about it. It's a shame we waited till now to think about the expanding to 12. Because as we get further along in this thing, I'm just realizing 4 does this great sport no justice. 4 has created this universe where if you don't get in the playoff, your season was a failure. Where if you don't get into that 4, and it's so hard to crack in there, it's like a bunch of ants trying to get to the same little piece of food, but it's a tiny piece of food. What if the piece of food was much bigger, and therefore the accomplishment was there for that many more programs and people and teams? Imagine right now with the chaos we have. Imagine with the absolute, not mediocrity at the top, but the parity that we have at the top. We would know right now. Georgia's going to be number 1, but boy, imagine a world where number 5 Ohio State would have to play in the first round, number 12 Texas A&M. Sign me up for that tomorrow. Sign me up for that tonight. Like, we just assumed that it would water things down. But this year, it would be the exact right thing to do because there's probably 12 to 15 teams who are within striking distance of each other, and there are not four that have separated themselves. There's one that separated themselves. The rest of them, you can throw them all in a sack and just pick it out. It might just be a toss-up. We pretended when this was the first news, oh, it's still going to be Ohio State, Clemson, and Bama every year anyway. Well, this year, Ohio State would be imminently beatable. Alabama, incredibly beatable. 12 would have been perfect for this year. And I hope this year is the impetus for expanding this thing very soon. Speaking of that, if you are going to hold the eye test, if you're going to hold Cincinnati accountable to the eye test, I'm okay with that, committee. I am okay with that. But you need to start realizing that their best win is holding up really, really well. Notre Dame is still hanging out there and still beating the shit out of teams and still now 8-1, 9-1. Notre Dame is running out of time to lose enough games to make that a bad loss. And if you are going to look at Cincy and say, you're not beating the Tulanes and the Tulsas of the world by enough, then you also have to be willing to say, Alabama, if you're this great team and this great program, you can't beat Florida by two. You can't make Ed Orgeron look competent. Ohio State, you can't be competing with Nebraska this long. Michigan, you can't let Indiana hang around. Oregon, you can't let Washington hang around. And if we're going to do it for Cincy, we need to keep that same energy for these other teams. That is all I'm saying.
I agree that I think as a football fan, but from the committee's standpoint, I think the bar is just as a group of five team for Cincinnati. Look at UCF a few years ago. Like, I do agree with you, but I don't think the committee is going to look at that. I think that Cincinnati's been 0-3 for style points the past 3 weeks. I know they've covered, but still to even be in the consideration, they need to be blowing teams out by 21 in the first quarter. So I think that the committee is looking for Cincinnati blowing teams out to even be in consideration right to have the mirror test.
Well, the expectation is now that Cincinnati has to be perfect, and that's fine. But why accept mediocrity from others and demand perfection from them? Their schedule is not great. It truly is not. Michigan also hasn't beaten a fucking soul with a pulse this year. So let's not act like Cincinnati hasn't done anything and act like Michigan has. That's just not – because I'm concerned this week Michigan's about to leapfrog Cincinnati.
Wisconsin now has a pulse, though, because the committee made them have one. That's the thing.
They're also playing pretty well, too. I had a great thought go through my head just now, and it was going to be excellent, and it was going to be great. It was on Cincinnati. Oh, yeah, this. Speaking of Cincinnati, they won, fine, whatever. All-time fuck-up by that Tulsa quarterback. All-time fuck-up. Did you guys see this?
Yeah.
It's third and goal, Jack, and I'll jog your memory if you didn't see it. Third and goal, the one. The Tulsa quarterback calls a read option, and he has got it. I mean, this guy's got it. If he lowers his shoulder and barrels in the end zone, easy touchdown. If he stands up, walks in the end zone, he's going to get hit, but touchdown. The only way he wasn't going to get in the end zone was by sliding like a bitch, like a little punk bitch. Like, oh, I'm just going to slide. You do that at the 43. You don't do that at the goal line. You do that. This is winning time. This is game time. You got Cincinnati on the ropes. And he went to a knee and stopped himself short. Nobody stopped him. He stopped himself short. And then who was that? Was that William the Refrigerator Perry? Who did Tulsa bring in for that last carry? They brought in somebody that was 5'2", 390. Yeah. And his fat little arms, they're trying to reach out over the goal line and
couldn't get there.
And said, your arms can't do this.
He couldn't get there. He reached out and the ball just fell out.
It fell out like Winnie the Pooh trying to score a touchdown. It was awful.
That was a big boy they brought in.
Who was that?
They had eight plays in two goal situations to win the game and just end Cincinnati as a whole. And not as a whole, but just for this season. I mean, obviously, they'd go on to win the AAC and whatnot. But Tulsa is another one of those teams. They're like the Nebraska of the G5. Are they the best, worst team in the G5? Something like that?
They gave Ohio State about three quarters of hell, too.
Yep, and then they had some other games that I recall that they did get blown out by Houston, but other games it felt like they were close and they just lost. I think Oklahoma State they played tough with.
Oh yeah, you're exactly right. They very much did.
They're like the best 3-6 team I've ever seen, but they were really idiotic today. That quarterback, he was able to go in and, but Desmond Ridder, what are you doing? Just hold on to the ball. Like I understand bad snaps happen, but yikes, that would have been a crazy chaotic way for your chance to go to the college football playoff to end. But they're still alive. They need chaos though, because Katie's right. They're 0-3 in chaos or in emphatic wins since that Notre Dame win.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. But chaos is very possible. Just remarkably possible. Like I look in front of them, Ohio State, could they lose a game? Oh yeah. Could Alabama lose a game? Oh, definitely, yes. Could Oregon lose a game? I can and will. So there's just there's so much. And behind them, Oklahoma's going to have to be dealt with soon. Oklahoma's future resume kind of took a hit today when Baylor got beat by TCU. But Oklahoma's about to have to be dealt with. They got the game at Baylor next week. I'll tell you who the most underrated team in the country is. It ain't Cincinnati. And it ain't Oklahoma. You know who it is, Jack? Most underrated team in the country is a team that you were on before anybody else. Oklahoma State.
Oh, yeah.
Could be a top 5-6 team in this country. They've got one loss. It was on the road to Iowa State by 3 points. And there were some officiating malfeasances there at the end that could have made that. I mean, that was close. They got one road loss. And they got good wins. They've beaten Baylor. I mean, Oklahoma State, who was 11, I believe, no chance they should have been behind Wake Forest or Michigan, probably Cincinnati. Like, if you're putting Ohio State and Oregon over Cincinnati, I think Oklahoma State's got an argument, too. Oklahoma State's the most underrated team in this country because their defense is good as hell. And they're going to – Oklahoma State might be the quietest playoff contender in this country right now because they catch Oklahoma at home.
Not to fast forward to losers of the weekend, but – you can make a very good argument that a loser of the weekend this weekend was Oklahoma. Baylor lost. Texas got blown out. We saw now Oklahoma State, that kind of evened it out a little bit. But, and then also if Nebraska beat Ohio State, that probably would have boosted them a little bit because that was a good win for them at a conference. But, I mean, I guess they did. But then also number 3 lost. And then number 4 didn't look great either. So I'm going back. As I'm saying this take, I'm kind of reconsidering it. But it's the Big 12 didn't have a great weekend. Baylor losing was not great. I mean, TCU just lost their guy in the history of their program, their guy. And Baylor goes in and loses to them?
Yeah. Did I tweet out, hey, SEC officiating, your mother's a whore?
I assume you blacked out multiple times.
There was about a 15-minute period where I blacked out.
I don't remember that. I have your post notifications on, so I feel like I would have seen
And
that.
Katie would have said something in when we were watching it together. She would have been like, oh, Brandon tweeted this.
Yeah.
Nope. Yeah. Well, I stand by it. these Ole Miss tweets.
They deleted it.
Yeah, they're bitches. They're bitch-made-ass bitches. They should have deleted them, okay? Because, A, were they clever? Yes, they sure were. Kind of liked them. But Ole Miss making fun of Hugh Freeze for that tweet is like me making fun of Paul Feinbaum for having big ears. I mean, Ole Miss was – they helped him do it. They were complicit. They let him do it. They let him cheat. At Ole Miss, they let him buy hookers for recruits. They let him get pussy. They let Hugh Freeze do whatever he wanted because he won games. Ole Miss and Hugh Freeze's malfeasances and things he did wrong, they weren't independent of Ole Miss. They were encouraged by Ole Miss. They fucking loved that shit. And then he comes in, they beat him, and they say, oh, if you have violations or if you have facts about a violation, tweet it to the – you guys – love that cheating scumbag motherfucker for being a cheating scumbag motherfucker because that's the only reason you could win games. And now you try to turn that against him? My God, what a bunch of baby back douchebag bitches. What a bunch of phony ass, coward ass motherfuckers. Good tweets, though. Good tweets. Good.
Yeah.
They deleted them?
Yeah.
What a bunch of hoes.
And then, Katie, didn't the AD apologize?
Oh, what a bunch of hoe ass hoes. Are you kidding me? He apologized? What did he go in the locker room and go ahead and get down on his knees for Hugh, too? What are we doing? Hugh Freeze built the reputation of being the dirtiest coach in America. Why? Because he was given the keys to the dirtiest program in America. And that's why he can't get back into SEC. And you want to make fun of that guy? Fuck you. Felt good.
Speaking of not really excuses, apparently after the Florida game, Dan Mullen confirmed that 20 to 30 Gator players had the flu.
Oh, the flu. Yes, of course, yeah. The flu. The
Mullen flu.
The flu's so 1998. We're doing COVID now.
Baby. Yeah.
The flu ain't shit.
The flu.
It is hilarious and hysterical that players can just go out there and play with the flu and give each other the flu. And
yeah.
If one even thinks about talking about COVID, he has to sit out the next 3 weeks.
Yeah. Like even the flu, like he said, they had to fly in IVs for the players that had the flu. Imagine if
the capital city of South Carolina doesn't have IVs.
Yeah. But imagine if he said last year, yeah, we had a bunch of players really sick. Like we didn't know if we were going to be able to play. Like Dan Mullen would have been, he probably thought about saying that last year at some point.
Dan, I don't care if every player you have was suddenly stricken with dysentery or paralyzed below the knees like that. South Carolina couldn't beat my meat. Why are you losing to South Carolina? You got Florida talent. You can't lose to South Carolina. Like, who was playing quarterback for South Carolina? They just invented this guy. Like, they created this player like 2 days ago.
Yeah.
There's an interesting thing from Ross Dellinger. He had a tweet about the last four recruiting cycles. Florida and South Carolina have only signed 2 5-star players.
Like, this is Florida. Florida. Dan Mullen is a top 10 coach in this country, but he is not built to coach at Florida. Because if you don't get the guys, the fan base will never let you forget it. And when quicksand starts rising around Dan Mullen, he's not great. He needs to go somewhere that will accept top 30 recruiting, and all of a sudden you look up in 3 years, he's got 21, 22-year-old grown men, and he's got a quarterback that he has created from nothing, and he's awesome. But you can't do that at Florida. You have to be a flashy guy. You have to win in February. And when he loses in February and then he starts losing the season, it all adds up on him. He is not a Florida-type coach. He needs to go to, like, Iowa State. He needs to go to Mississippi State. He needs to go to somewhere off the radar where he can use his coaching and build something. He's not long for Florida.
You know what?
I'm just going to say it out loud because I never said it publicly. Let me pick my mic up. About 4 years ago, the end of 2017, Dan Mullen and Scott Strickland was the athletic director at Mississippi State. He's from Jackson, Mississippi. He is a graduate of Mississippi State. He married into one of the biggest Mississippi State families. He is as Mississippi State as it gets. He was our athletic director, and we hired him, we groomed him, and we gave him the number one spot in Bulldog land, and he could have done that till the day he died and would have been a hero. But no. He decided to go where the grass is greener, go to Gainesville. He decided to leave. He decided to take the fact that we made him the top dog, and he said, you know what? That's not good enough for me. I'm going to go somewhere I think that's better. So fuck him forever for that. And when he left, he said, I'm going to take Mississippi State's head coach. And now both of them are drowning at Florida, and I hope they both get fired because fuck them. Up next, we got –
Wait, would you take it if Mike Leach gets fired tomorrow?
Tomorrow. I would go pick Dan Mullen up at the airport. I would drive him to his house. I'd help him shop. I would take Dan Mullen and Mississippi State tomorrow. But I'm happy with Leach. If it's the choices, keep Leach or take Mullen, I keep Leach. But if Leach were to leave and Mullen were to be available tonight, but not Strickland, fuck him forever. He's a traitor. Mullen's not. Mullen gave us 9 good years and decided to go try elsewhere, and it hasn't worked. He's built for us. He's not built for them. You're not built to be a Florida Gator. It's not always great to be a Florida Gator. You got to work hard and on recruiting. He don't want to do that. Now I'm just holding the mic. I'm just stuck holding the mic.
Do you think Urban would ever go back to Florida?
I don't think so. I feel like that ship sailed. I don't know. I feel like if Urban doesn't take a job in this round of jobs, like the USC. By the way, how many jobs are going to be open? How many good jobs are going to be open? How many good jobs are going to be open?
So of the arguable top 10, LSU, Florida, USC.
Right.
And like Virginia Tech's not a bad job.
I think Virginia Tech's a fantastic job.
I'm trying to think of
Nebraska maybe.
Yeah. Nebraska maybe. That's a top 25 job probably if you rank them or close.
We thought Miami. I guess Miami's kind of taking itself off the market a little bit.
Yeah. I think, but this is a big.
TCU's obviously open. TCU's open. Texas Tech is open. Sure, there will be other jobs. I don't think there's going to be 15 good jobs open this year.
And then there could be like, once we start doing the carousel, if somebody leaves, like let's say someone like the Penn State coach goes to LSU, then the Penn State job's open. That's a good job.
Right. Yeah, and it'll trickle down. Like, say Mullen leaves Florida. You know, Florida. What if Lane Kiffin goes to Florida and Ole Miss is like, it's going to be a fun off season. All right, where are we at? I haven't talked about our game much. You know, ultimately, really, my real talk about this game is that was just two evenly matched SEC teams playing an evenly matched game. We made a lot of mistakes. We missed field goals, but Arkansas made some plays. They got a great receiver, Treylon Burks. They're very well coordinated. I think their fat coach is terrible, and he'll get discovered next year when these coordinators move on. But Briles is a great offensive coordinator, and Odom is one of the best defensive coordinators in the country. They did a good job. We did a good job. It was one of those coin flip games that ultimately we missed too many field goals, and we did. We get screwed on the call at the end. That was an awful call. That was a bullshit call, but SEC officials are going to do that. And if you leave it up to one call, it sucks. But I'm not mad. Like, I would rather have Mike Leach today than I would than Lane Kiffin. I'd rather have Mike Leach than Sam Pittman. I am very happy with where we are. Best 5-4 team in the country. Moving forward.
How long has it been since you've tweeted, I want to fire Mike Leach?
Oh, about 3 hours.
Okay. Let's check in.
But that was – no, about 6 hours. That was the first quarter. We were down 10-0.
Yeah. And they – to give you guys credit, you guys really turned it around. Like, you guys looked dead, and then they – you guys won the second half for sure.
Also, I rehired him.
Yeah, you rehired – and you fire him all the time. Like, it's not that – it's not, like, official until the end of the game.
Also, we might not talk about it. I'm just going to say it. I know he's my guy, but Will Rogers is fucking good.
He's good. The pass he threw to, I think, put you guys up. I'm trying to recall if that was it. He's just – you're right. There's no denying it. He's probably a top 10 quarterback in the country. Like,
we haven't talked about – we haven't – since she's not here, I guess, kind of reflexes. I was enjoying not talking about A&M, but, I mean, they did win the biggest SEC game of the day. They handled Auburn. Every time you want to buy into Auburn and every time you want to buy into Bo Nix, he just throws out a stinker. What you guys don't know and I know is that Jack is right now watching the UFC fight from the Madison Square Garden, so he's getting ready to watch the main event, the big fight. But on this show, it's time for the main event of the evening, boys and girls. It's time to talk about them peckers. Yes, sir, it is Roman Swipes. Let's talk about that tallywhacker, gentlemen. Jack, I know one thing. When I get in the bedroom and I'm getting down with the fucky stuff, I want to last as long as I can. I try to last 2, 3, 4, 5 songs on the Spotify playlist. Usually I only last like half a song. But Roman is here. Roman Swipes are a clinically proven way to last longer in bed. They're effective, easy to use, and fast acting, and they don't require a prescription. Jack, a lot of times these dick remedies, they require prescriptions. Isn't that frustrating?
No, it's very frustrating, and it's also can be embarrassing. You know, you don't want to go to the old doctor's office and be like, no. Hey, my pecker ain't working correct. I'd rather do that in the privacy of my home.
And my cock can't even sign up for prescriptions. It doesn't know how to write.
I've never seen mine write either.
No, my dick just knows how to fuck, and I just try to make it last as long as I can. That's my dick's a fucking machine.
That's what I've heard. It's a machine, but sometimes that machine goes a little too fast. It's efficient, but you want it to last a little bit longer, and that's how Roman helps.
Listen, my dick has had a remarkable career. I got four championships just walking around. I got the Derek Jeter of dicks, okay? And you got to take care of that thing. Roman can ship swipes to you in discreet, unmarked packaging, and each swipes packet is small enough to hide in your wallet for whenever you need it. They're super easy to use. Just take the swipes right out of the packet, okay? You take it out of the packet. You got it in your hand. You know where your dick is. It's usually about 3 feet south of your face. Go down there, swipe it on, swipe, 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 and that thing's going to last a while. That thing going to be harder than algebra for the rest of the night. Maybe not the rest of the night, but as long as you need it. Go to GetRoman.com/Walker. You can get your first month of swipes for just $5 when you choose a monthly plan. That's GetRoman.com/Walker. I love Roman. He just goes out and says, you know what? You know how some players, every now and then, they'll reach back in the well and they'll remind you they're good? I feel like Bo Nix will every now and then decide to go out there and say, man, I got to remind these people that I stink. I got a layer to me that absolutely smells.
All right.
He wasn't good.
All right. Bo Nix, man. They scored three. That game was probably, I mean, there were some games that were just not that meaningful that were forgettable today. Florida State, NC State. I forgot that game happened until I saw the final score. But that game was like the most boring game ever. Now, don't get me wrong, it's better than no college football, but it's 20-3. That A&M defense, though, you said it, I think, in week one or week two. This is the year of the defenses, man. That A&M defense is good. And it's a shame, I think, for A&M fans that Bama, LSU couldn't come through for them, but they may still come through. Like Auburn could return because their Super Bowl will be the Iron Bowl, and they're, I think, good enough to beat Bama. I mean,
let me tell you something right now. Auburn can 100% beat Alabama.
And LSU was
Alabama's defense is nowhere near as good as A&M's.
And LSU's defense was good enough to beat Alabama tonight. Like,
yeah, let's just one team has beaten Alabama, that's Texas A&M, but Florida was good enough to beat Alabama. They stink. LSU was good enough to beat Alabama. They stink.
And it would be just so perfect for Bo Nix's last real, like, hurrah in college football to give us one last thing of chaos, which would be to beat Bama and have, like, the game of his life.
I like you pretending Bo Nix isn't going to be in our lives for, like, three more years.
That is true. I don't know why I thought – I guess I just believed Carson Palmer's brother when he said he's going to be the number one pick in the NFL draft next year.
Bo Nix will be in college football until the 2030s. I don't know how he's going to figure it out, but he will be the Kenny Pickett of the next generation.
And he will be a quarterback for Arkansas at some point.
I will be moving my son Thomas, who's 11, into his dorm in Mississippi State while watching Bo Nix play Oregon on TV.
Yep.
All right, so let's see. Michigan State will lose three games. Hit that one.
No, we kind of got into it, but not that deep.
I think they've had their run. It was fun, but now they got Ohio State. Now they got Penn State. They're going to lose three times, and good for them. It's been a remarkable year. I do wonder if their coach has put himself on a radar for jobs he was not on the radar for 2 months ago, like an LSU or a USC. But we'll see. I think that would be a very dangerous thing for LSU to talk themselves into.
I'm really surprised that he's getting remotely any hype. And he's had a great season, but it's been one season. It's been one turnaround.
It hasn't been one season. It's been two-thirds of a season.
Fair. Yeah, exactly. Like, he's done fantastically. He's shown you can use a transfer portal, turn around a team. But I think a school like LSU and USC are going to want to go for someone who has, like, continued success year after year, can at least show they can do it, not just 1 year. Look what happened to Iowa State and Coastal.
Yeah. I still think the best candidate for LSU is James Franklin. I still think James Franklin is a square peg in a round hole at Penn State. I think he's a great coach. That's a great program, but they do not fit each other. They do not fit each other. And he needs to be somewhere where he can be like, kind of like the coaching god, just kind of be worshiped. Like LSU fans with his recruiting prowess would go crazy over him.
Yeah,
I think he would be a masterful fit at LSU. And he'll never win anything at Penn State. They'll always win 9. They'll win 10. But it just doesn't fit. It's not the culture, the environment, everything about them is plain workmanlike, and everything about James Franklin is flashy and go get it. And LSU and USC, both those fit him a lot better than Penn State.
What happened to your Joe Brady take?
I guess it's just kind of dying on the vine. I haven't heard anything about Joe Brady out of LSU. I thought I would, but I think his goal was always to get to the NFL, and now he's like, guys, I'm here. I'm not going back and recruiting. I mean, there's a world of coaches in the NFL who would probably be great college football minds who just don't want to wake up in the morning and have to worry about calling a 17-year-old kid.
Yeah.
You have to be a special type of person to be that. And, like, and there's also, I think, some guys that, maybe they just don't – like, we've seen college coaches go up into the NFL, and the NFL, it seems – not that it's a better brand of football, but, oh, I guess it is, and it's just – it's really tough to succeed in the NFL. You have to love football more than you love, like, program building. Some people just like building things. NFL's like, no, you have to, like, be obsessed with football. And going back to your point on Mel Tucker, I mean, he did do this before with Colorado a little bit, and then also – He was the Georgia defensive coordinator. So yeah. He does kind of have a track record, but I do know what you're saying compared to like, I guess, a Matt Campbell or something. But Mel Tucker, I think, would like go out to USC and be something for them.
Let me tell you a team that spent the first part of the season building up a reputation and building up a great year, and they're just Dunzo, D-U-N-Z-O, Dunzo. No, it's not. That's a good guess, Katie. It's not Texas. Texas didn't quite spend the first half of the season. They spent about 2 weeks doing it. But the secret's out. The book's out on Kentucky, man. Kentucky, we kind of ended that dream for them last week, and then they lost to Tennessee. But by the way, Josh Heupel being good is just mind-boggling to me. I didn't see it coming. I didn't think he had anything left there. I didn't think Tennessee could do anything. But now that I look on the paper, on the schedule, Georgia at Tennessee next week is kind of fascinating because Tennessee can score. Man, they can score, 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 score. If they go in and they shut that team out, I just don't see hope for any offense.
Is that that would really be something next week if we like, what do you do if that happens? Like, there's a scenario that Tennessee beats Georgia. We can get more into that game later, and then we can probably get more into it on the next.
Well, you know what? The weird part is, I don't think it would really even do anything, because all it would do is it would just turn the SEC championship game into a true playoff where just the winner of that is in. It doesn't really do anything to the grand scheme of things. Now, I don't know who would be number one. I don't know. I guess Alabama would be, but it would be wild. And Tennessee's going to be ready for it, man. Tennessee's going to be crazy next week.
And Georgia lost one of their defensive players to, I know it's an alleged sexual assault incident. And I don't know.
Yeah, a Georgia player, a defensive player goes down and he just like his body liquefies and it starts growing back into a robotic form. And they just put a number on him and put him back on the defense.
The crazy thing is, I mean, not that the offense has been lacking, but imagine this team with George Pickens.
I think that in a month that might be true.
Yeah, I think he's like slowly working his way back. We've kind of heard murmurs of it.
I still don't think they can win a national title with Stetson Bennett, although Kirby really appears to think he can.
Yeah, they're obsessed with Stetson, man.
He thinks Stetson gives him the best chance to win. I just don't know. I mean, like, Stetson's fine. he's fine as long as you're in games where you're up by 21 because of your defense. What happens late in the season or the SEC championship game when they're down 14-7 in the second half? I don't want Stetson Bennett throwing those balls.
Yeah. That's one of the more fascinating storylines of the college football season right now is the Stetson versus JT. I keep thinking back. I mean, it's been a year. People progress, but Stetson looked like a chicken without his head against Alabama in that second half last year. That is the scenario you're talking about. What happens when you need a score? Can Stetson give it to you?
Because I don't care how good your defense is. At some point, your offense is going to have to score an important touchdown. They're going to have to score an important field goal. They're going to have to do something to win a game. And I'm just not sure Stetson's the guy I want in that foxhole. But if Kirby Smart gets this defense, it's almost to the point if Kirby Smart doesn't win the national title this year, I don't see how he ever wins it. This is the most cut and dry, best chance any team will ever have. Like, they are seriously so much better than everybody they play. And then those teams they play go out and play the Alabamas, they play the other teams, and they compete with them. Like, this is the year. If Georgia doesn't win it this year, I don't know when they can win it. And look at the storylines. Like, the Braves just won it. Everything is lining up to be Georgia. What if it isn't?
I mean, I just floated the idea of Tennessee being like right. beating them next week, but not that that would really end their national championship run, but it's.
Dude, that would be awesome if Hooker took down Georgia just 4 years after taking down Ole Miss's program. That would be incredible.
Yes, that would be incredible.
Thank you, Jack. That one landed. Next week, we have got Michigan at Penn State. We've got Minnesota at Iowa. We got Purdue at Ohio State. We got Oklahoma at Baylor. NC State at Wake. Division championship game?
Could be.
We've got Georgia at Tennessee. We have Texas A&M at Ole Miss, which could be very, very key in the West. If A&M beats Ole Miss, A&M, like, gets in the clubhouse first, and if Auburn beats Alabama, I'm pretty sure A&M would win the SEC West.
They would, because they would have the head-to-head against Bama.
Yeah, yeah.
Who would have two losses if they lost to Auburn, and then A&M beat Auburn as well. So I don't foresee a scenario. I could be wrong, but that's why when I was watching that game, and it was 2014, and they were kind of driving LSU. I was thinking, man, this is big for A&M because they wouldn't even need to care about the Auburn game. But now I think that's probably their last chance. But who knows? Bama could slip up at any point at this time. At this point, it's just like they're just blah. Like, and that's like Bama. Their players complain, not players, fans, probably players too. Even athletic department complain about how they're always playing at noon, 3:30, and they want to play under their little special LED lights. So right. You can't tell me they weren't up for that game. And it's LSU. Last time LSU came into that stadium, they put a, like, not a whooping, but they embarrassed you. And yeah. Coach O did all those little shenanigans, and Joe Burrow went off on the shoulders of players. Like,
remember their players running the end zone, yeah, and telling recruits to come to LSU?
Yeah, so, like, you can't tell me they didn't get up for that. So,
no, they're just not that good. They're just not that good this year. All right. Who won
the weekend?
Katie Stats.
This is, again, with the chaos thing, like, how no one's really good. As much as it sucks for gambling and it sucks if it's your team, I'd rather no one really, like, or less teams be good, or, like, it's more chaos. We have more unsure. Like, there's no clear one person ahead after Georgia. So I kind of like having stuff up in the air. I'm not really sure what's going to happen every weekend. Yeah, sucks for your picks and your money, but I think it just makes the sport more interesting, and I'm excited every weekend. So
You're saying the college football populace as a whole won this weekend.
Or at least the fans, the watchers.
Jack Mack.
Yeah, I'll just go with Tennessee on the weekend. That was a big win for them. And Josh Heupel has – I mean, their defense didn't look great at times, but, I mean, Josh Heupel is an offensive coach, and the defense was came up in situations they needed to, and that's what you need when you have a great offense. And Josh Heupel doesn't even have his guys in there technically yet. The transfer portal kind of helped a little bit, but, I mean, Hendon Hooker, guys, he was like he was unplayable at Virginia Tech by the end of his career at Virginia Tech, and it's now turned into one of the best quarterbacks in the SEC. Like, Josh Heupel, Tennessee, they found a really, really good guy. And so, yeah, Tennessee fans and Tennessee as a whole wins the weekend.
I think the Michigan Wolverines won the weekend simply by holding serve. They came out of last weekend, they lost their game, and they needed Michigan State to lose twice the rest of the season so they could have a chance to get back into this mix. And, well, Michigan State hasn't lost twice yet, but they basically have. They just lost to Purdue, and they still have to play Penn State and Ohio State. I guarantee you Michigan State's got another loss in there. And Ohio State, we haven't talked about it enough. We all crowned them. I especially crowned them as the second-best team. Last week, they didn't look very good. This week, they look very good. Like, their defense doesn't look great. Their offense doesn't look great. They had a stretch there 4 weeks in a row where they were just beating the piss out of the absolute dregs of the Big Ten. They were beating the Rutgers. They were beating the Maryland's. But now they're getting back to not even good teams, but just teams that have a pulse, that are just capable of standing up. And they haven't looked very good. Why is my brain blanking on who Ohio State played last week?
Indiana.
No, that was 2 weeks ago.
Penn State.
Yes. So Penn State, they didn't look great. Nebraska, they didn't look great. So if I'm Michigan and I was there at 7 and I needed Michigan State to lose so I'd have a chance to get to Indianapolis, that happened. If I need Ohio State to be vulnerable and beatable when I host them in a couple weeks, that's happening. All of a sudden, they look very, very functional and capable of sneaking through this thing. And even with that loss, they've got a very clear path to the playoff. They got to beat Penn State. Then they got to beat Ohio State. And that sounds really bad, but both of those seem doable now. I think Michigan won the weekend just by holding serve. All right, Katie Stats, who lost the weekend?
I think if we all are thinking about one person, I feel like we're all going to have – we can all say it together, a little single person.
So we're all saying Dan Mullen, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
I'll go somewhere else. Go ahead, Katie.
No, I mean, I'll have – that's the biggest one. I'll have a secondary one that's maybe off the beaten path. I think just hands down, Dan Mullen. Like, if he's not fired by Monday, I will be genuinely very surprised. Really, someone on his staff.
What about you, Jack? Who lost the weekend?
I'll just say it, Justin Fuente. I think I even said he lost last weekend or the weekend before. They scored 3 points against Boston College on Friday night. They looked dead. Boston College is a good team, don't get me wrong, but, like, come on, guys, 3 points. Justin Fuente, I don't see how he survives. He's my loser of the weekend again, because I really had high expectations for Virginia Tech this year, and I was wrong about them.
I think it's Michigan State. And I don't think this is judgmental against them, but when you put yourself in position to do what they've done this year, when you arguably have the Heisman front runner, when you beat your rival at home and you put yourself in a spotlight, you put yourself in a position to do something your team just isn't traditionally known for doing, you just have to mop up. You just have to clean up. You did the hard work, and you've got more hard work coming. You got to go on the road and take care of business at Purdue. I know Purdue's not a bad football team, but if you're Michigan State, if you're got these 21 transfers, if you're truly one of the top teams in the country, you can't fail your first time out. You can't fail your first – you can't take the car on the road the first time and get a flat tire. That sucks. That stinks. That just means you are what they thought you were. This is one of those Denny Green moments. You are what they told you that you were. The second you had a chance to prove it. So I'm almost wondering if the Big Ten would have been better off if Michigan State just didn't complete that comeback last week. If Michigan, who seems like they're more put together at this point, I thought Michigan State, credit to them for winning last week, but they really lost this week. Yes, Katie.
I have another one. I'm counting what the exact number is, but I'm going to say the College Football Playoff Committee. I just got to at least 7, and I hadn't hit one column of ranked teams that lost today.
Oh, it's at least 8.
Yeah. And a bunch of those teams, like if you look at, I think like Fresno, Minnesota, Mississippi State, like in Wisconsin won. Like teams that got put in to prop up other teams, it feels just not great.
The fact they ranked Fresno State, disgusting. Shame on, okay, I'll just get into my shit list. But before I get to my shit list, a special little honorable mention for loser of the week. Wake Forest, that's probably, and then as fans of Wake Forest, like you're probably like, we're never getting back here. And they had a chance maybe to go on like some magical run, and they were up, they were up 2 scores in the fourth and they blew it. But my shit list is the College Football Playoff Committee for putting Fresno State in. They're not good. Same with San Diego State, not good. And you had a chance to put Houston in there. But then also another loser of the weekend, Cincinnati, SMU loses. They almost lose. The playoff committee's job got like, hey, they're going to come. This is kind of like a retirement job for them. You know, yeah. You kind of, or some of them are current ADs, but like, isn't Frank Beamer on it or whatever? They kind of just show up and it's like, oh, let's talk some football. They have a tough job, and they're going to have to spin zone a lot of teams to get what they want in that top four this week. So it shall be interesting.
Shit list, Katie?
Come back to me. I'm still thinking on that.
This is very rare. We don't do it that often. We don't do this very often at all. I'm just going to put a player on there, and I don't think this is a bad player. I don't think this is judgmental of his character. I think he's a pretty – I'm sure he's a solid American. I'm sure he has good credit. I'm sure his family loves him. But Davis Brand, the quarterback of Tulsa, if you have got Cincinnati on the ropes and you are a football player and you've got 85 other guys over there counting on you to lead them, when you have a chance to dive into the end zone, run into the end zone, jump into the end zone, leap into the end zone, propel yourself in the end zone, and you slide at on third and goal with 10 seconds left in the game, you slide and you put your knee down before you get in, that is the most passive, that is the most cowardly, that is terrible football. That is not leadership. This guy is probably a great leader. This guy's a good football player. He probably just had a momentary mistake. But a quarterback, and not just him individually, but a quarterback – cannot passively take a knee. He cannot slide in that situation. You have to put your body on the line. This sport, this game, this season, it all comes down to little bitty moments. Little bitty moments where you can put the team on your back. Little bitty moments when you can put yourself into the lights and you can make history. And you took a knee. And that was – I'm sure if the guy had it to do over again, he wouldn't do it. But that was a shit list play. Maybe the play should go on the shit list and not the individual. Because I have no reason to believe he's not anything other than a great dude. That was shitty. All right. Who else has got a shit list? Katie, you're the only one.
I honestly don't have one right now. No, I'm good.
So Katie's shit list was Casey for not showing up, for being sick. Wow.
No.
That's let the record show. No. Let the record show, Jack. No. It should the ledger no. show that Katie said Casey.
No.
You writing that down, Jack?
Yeah, I was actually just writing down the exact timestamp so I can clip it out for social.
Okay, thank you very much.
Mm. Yes, but yeah. No.
All right. I think we're good.
Yeah. No, I mean, another. This was supposed to be not the greatest weekend, and let's be honest, we had a lot to talk about.
We have a lot to talk about. I still don't think we've had the good weekend yet. I still don't think we've had okay. like the I still don't think we've had that great college football weekend yet that just leaves you. And I think November looks incredible. I think we got a lot of matchups. I think the best of this season and the most clarifying weekend of the season is still to come, because I think we're still confused.
Yep. No, yeah.
I think this is the muddiest the season has been this late in the season in a long, long time. We'll figure it out. All right. Tuesday night, we will probably hold again for the playoff rankings, and we'll come to you. Oh, that seemed like news to Katie. She made a face. But we'll have a new episode to you Tuesday night. Otherwise, that's it. Thank you to Jack. Thank you to Katie. Casey will be back. That's Unnecessary Roughness.